going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An entire Trump presidency, all of it, is being blocked and canceled by liberal judges, Lee. All of it.
Yep.
Because they can. I looked this up yesterday. It's now been a calendar month since Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, I think was dispatched by Elon Musk, maybe Musk and Trump, because the two of them had played golf like a couple weeks before, believe it or not, even though they've kind of been enemies. They played golf, and then suddenly DeSantis came out and blistered Mike Johnson and the Republican leadership, saying, you know, what are you doing? You can stop these judges. Stop this. You can do it with 51 votes. There are plenty of ways to attach this to bills. You can attach it to the big, beautiful bill if you want. Lots of ways to do this, to stop these judges. And he listed many of them. And Mike Johnson then did our supposedly Republican speaker, but it's really hard to tell. I mean, Republicans did try to recall him, and the Democrats saved him. So I don't know, maybe he's loyal to them. It's really hard to tell in any given moment. But Ron DeSantis comes out, blisters him. He does a round of media interviews, vows, oh, yes, yes, legislation. Yes, absolutely, legislation. We're working on that. Well, the Democrats saw that. He says it's coming right away. That was a month ago. And they're learning. Let's see what else the Republicans are going to let us get away with. Because the thing with district courts, federal district courts, they are not in the Constitution. Congress created them as a convenience. That's it. They can decide to do away with them at any moment. In fact, the founders were fond of, if they didn't like a judge, it was the founding generation, not the founders themselves, if they didn't like a judge, they would simply cancel that district court. They wouldn't go through impeachment, which takes 2/3 in the Senate. No, they'd go 51 votes. These are not hard things, or 51% of the vote in the House. And they would just cancel the judicial district. Bye-bye. The judge's position doesn't exist. Move out, judge. It's been a month since Mike Johnson vowed, yes, we will do something. And nothing has happened. And the Democrats are getting bolder and bolder and bolder. He's not going to have a presidency. And it's kind of brilliant, actually, because, Lee, I will never forget just the daily outrage of having to cover how Republicans undermine Donald Trump, especially with the Russia collusion hoax. People attribute that to Democrats, but Republicans had that Congress the first 2 years of his last presidency, and they were the ones holding the hearings on it. They stole the first 2 years of his presidency. That's happening now, but Republicans are working in partnership with these liberal judges. They're not calling them on the phone. They're not talking to them or playing footsie with them. They don't have to. They know that if they don't act, they will get bolder and bolder and bolder. And we are very rapidly coming to the point, this is what these judges are driving to, Lee, that you will see them attempt to imprison the entire Trump management team, every single one of them. And they're already telling us how they're going to do it. Oh, yeah, we're district judge. By the way, there's 700 of them, okay? Any district judge can appoint their own prosecutor and just go ahead and criminally try Team Trump for not obeying their orders. Even if they have no jurisdiction to issue those orders. That was what Judge Boasberg wrote 2 weeks ago. I said, everyone of these judges is going to try it. Now we got a second one. Got a second one trying it. Female judge, who Supreme Court referred it back down. This was the order to bring back St. Kilmar Abrego Garcia so he can continue human trafficking and maybe beat his wife a little.
More.
Yes. And maybe not a lot. Maybe not a little. Maybe she said he was violent. She was afraid of him. So I don't know. So we've got all of that going on. You're going to see Trump have to pardon his entire team to keep them out of prison. I don't know, daily, weekly? Then we'll have a court fight over that. They'll haul him into court. These are blue jurisdictions, some of them, or blue courts. They'll haul him into court, and we'll start to have an argument. If Trump pardons his entire team every Monday morning going forward, can you do a forward pardon? They'll try to get around the pardons. It'll be ground to a halt while Mike Johnson picks his nose and guffaws on Fox News, sends out fundraising letters. This is a disaster. And a time is coming, Lee, and I've been waiting on Trump to do this. I understand why he has, and I actually do. He doesn't want to go to war with the Republican Congress. He sent DeSantis instead,
which
is kind of crazy, but he did.
Well, I mean, he's a former congressman, so.
Yeah, I mean, the two of them have obviously clashed. Yeah. Yeah. Trump's going to have to call him out. He's going to have to lay it out for the American people. Call your congressman. Stop this. Stop this. This has to stop. Because we got another problem here. And you can see this coming. What this forces to do, all these judges, that just basically anything Trump does, they enjoin him.
Right.
Stop him, block him, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no difference.
No, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever he did this week, it'll be blocked by next week by one of these judges. The problem here is, especially with the immigration stuff, this forces Trump to push it up to the Supreme Court, okay? Amy Coney Barrett is a rabid open borders radical. One of his worst appointments, and that's saying something. He's going to pay dearly for choosing her. And John Roberts is with her about half the time. And so the problem is we push these cases up to the Supreme Court. We are creating judicial precedent that is, quite frankly, a 50-50 chance every time we go to court of being a disaster. That isn't even constitutional, as Alito said. And Alito made a great argument. This is why the Supreme Court did this in the middle of the night, in the middle of Easter, hoping no one would notice. What? To say, hey, Trump can't do this anymore. Stop with the emergency deportations under the Alien Act. We're going to freeze that. Everybody gets a hearing. That was based on, and Alito pointed this out, no law. There's no law there because what these Democrat organizations and judges are doing are writing half a page and page long rulings. And again, I used to cover federal court. You do an injunction like this, you attempt it. You even do a district ruling that's supposed to set precedent, okay? It's not even a nationwide injunction. It's 125 to 150 pages. And they make solid legal arguments. They cite their arguments. They don't have arguments. They will lose if they cite arguments. So these things are a half a page, double-spaced. You ever write a paper like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I have to confess I did do that.
I remember the days.
Yes. And this will fool my professor. No, it will not. So, and Alito's saying, look, they're, and Jonathan Turley said the same thing. They're ruling on half a page, one page. There's no legal arguments, no legal background, and they're setting precedent with it. This is like, think about this. You know, if you and I have to drive a car on the road by law, this is somebody taking a car off road. There's no roads. Just do-dung-do-dung-do-dung-do-dung. I mean, this is what they're doing. Just, yeah, hey, we love open borders. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll vote for that. And they're creating precedent with it. It's terrifying. Jonathan Turley saying this. So I'm telling you, we're going to lose a lot of these because Roberts was appointed by the original open border zealot, George W. Bush, who in many ways was more radical even than Barack Obama. And I can prove that to you with math. I can remember sitting in the chair on talk radio, and there'd be some massive slug of people who just came over the border under Obama. Our side would scream bloody murder. And then you'd go to the Border Patrol and they'd say that was the second biggest crossing ever. Second? Well, who did the first? Bush. Bush appointed Roberts. Understand, in their philosophy, which is more of a religion than a philosophy, open borders and no sovereignty is the heights, the alpha and the omega. It is the highest value on earth. There is nothing like it. It is the one thing upon which we do not compromise. That's who Roberts is. And he's with us half the time on this stuff. We are in the process of letting Democrats set precedent in partnership with Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts that we have an open border. At this point, every time I hear Trump Lee is going to the Supreme Court to appeal some immigration thing, I cringe. I'm like, no. Take the easier route. What you're doing is permanent. Go to Mike the Knife. And I really wish, Lee, I really wish that DeSantis and Trump had not gotten into the fight that they did and everything, because there is nobody better for whipping a legislature than DeSantis. DeSantis should have been the speaker. They would have been an amazing team, him and Trump. Yeah. It's just really sucks. Because you watch what DeSantis did with the legislature, and I've asked him many times, how did you do it? Because he inherited a purple, mushy-gushy legislature like we have in Colombia, and the man only won by 50,000 votes. Somehow, and I don't know how to do, how he did it, capo style, force of personality, whip them into shape. They do whatever he wants, and they do it within 6 weeks, not 10 years, like our legislature. That was who should have run Congress. And again, I don't know how he did it, but he does it. And we just watched 72 hours. He whipped Mike Johnson at least into enough shape to have to come out and justify it and do a round of interviews on Fox News. Johnson's gone back to sleep. He knows who he owes. He owes the Democrats. He owes the Democrats for saving the speakership from the Republicans' attempt to cancel it. That's where we are. It's bad, and it cannot continue.
Other than that, happy Friday, Tara.
Yeah, really. It's somebody has got to do something. And I know why Trump is doing this. He's running out of time. Okay, he's got to get these illegals out. But every appeal to the Supreme Court is fraught with danger. I mean, honestly, after what happened over Easter, I would freeze and I would not request any more Supreme Court reviews. They're not going to go well. They're not. He needs, and I know he's afraid that it'll shatter the Republican Party and look like we're in disarray.
Well, we are to some degree.
But would it be any different, though? I mean, it's almost May. His spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt, begged on February 6th for them to pass the big, beautiful bill. It's almost May. They're not doing anything but taking vacations. So, I mean, if the whole thing were locked down because the Republican Party fractured, would it look any different? No, it would not. So decisions are going to have to be made soon. Or I'm telling you, we're going to watch the entire Trump team get dragged off to prison by these judges. And we're going to see Mike Johnson on TV pearl clutching, saying, oh, this is so, so bad. And send a check to me now. That's where we're at. I mean, it's just like a collision course. You could see the train coming down the tunnel track. Maybe we're just going to have to go through it. I don't know.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Liberal judicial dictators, the true oligarchs. Liberal judicial dictators. Essentially just ruling Trump can't do anything he does. Every one of them, folks, using nationwide injunctions. Okay, these are district courts. What does that mean? Well, it's very simple. District courts were created to rule on lawsuits, legal matters in the district. There are 700 of these judges, over 700 of them. So what's supposed to happen is there's a conflict of some kind, so then there's a case. That case works its way up through the district court system. The district court system, which has jurisdiction in the district court, a very specific area of the country. Yet these judges have invented the nationwide injunction, and they're using it. Now, this weekend, folks, watch this. This is going to be the big thing. You heard about it here first. Nobody else is talking about this. I don't know why. At least not that I can find on any of the podcasts I listen to. Now they're asserting a new legal power, because why not? They're asserting a new legal power that these judges can now, any one of the 700, appoint their own personal prosecutor to go after Team Trump for disobeying them. It's called criminal contempt of court. And so the argument they're using, and we saw this with Judge Boasberg, it's outrageous. Judge Boasberg started this. And he said, well, you know, okay, the Supreme Court did rule that I don't have jurisdiction. I didn't have jurisdiction to tell Trump to turn those planes around when he was flying them to El Salvador. And I don't have jurisdiction to tell Trump to bring back Saint Kilmar Abrego Garcia, human trafficker and wife beater extraordinaire. I don't have that. But Trump disobeyed me before the Supreme Court ruled that, ergo, criminal contempt. Now the other judges are doing it too. Amy Klobuchar, and I can't play this audio enough this week. This is where things are going, okay? Senator Amy Klobuchar dropped Dana Bash's jaw on CNN saying this. I wish I could show you the picture. Her face looks shocked because she understands what they're saying. We're going to put the whole Trump administration into prison with this. Every judge gets their own prosecutor. What is that? That's an oligarchy. How does an oligarchy work? It's like Russia. Oligarchs are essentially shiny-shoed criminals who become politically powerful. They have their own fiefdoms. They might rule a county, a swath of land, an area, a particular industry. They all come together to rule a country. That's what these judges are doing. They are the oligarchs. Here is Senator Amy Klobuchar telling you where these judges are going.
Well, if the administration won't do it themselves, a court does have the power to refer it to the Justice Department, mentioned by Judge Boasberg here. But also, if the Justice Department won't do anything, a court can actually appoint a prosecutor on their own, an outside prosecutor, because they have the power to hold people in contempt. And that may be the people that did the deporting. It may be the secretary who's responsible for this. But they have the right to do this.
Who's she talking about, secretary who's responsible for this? She's talking about trying and putting the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in prison. That's what she's talking about. Understand what that means. Now, I can't show you Dana Bash's face here on CNN, okay? But you can hear her suck in her voice like, what?
Go ahead. Forgive me. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, which is that you believe that the federal courts, maybe a district court, I'm not sure, you can tell me if the Supreme Court could even do this, should hold key administration officials in contempt if they continue to defy the Supreme Court, which I'm guessing you see
yes.
Yes.
That's the way our law works. Yes.
Did you hear the pause? Yes. Wish I could show you her face. She just realized it's a Democrat. I mean, she is a Democrat. Dana Bash. She's like, even it drops her jaw. You're going to start sending them into prison. Yes, we're going to start sending them to prison. Every judge gets their own prosecutor. That's a fiefdom. It's an oligarchy. That's not a republic, which is what we actually live in. And it's not even a democracy. It is an oligarchy. So here's what has happened just in the last 48 hours, okay? Judges said Trump can, blocked Trump from defunding sanctuary cities, ordered that Trump must refund the Voice of America, which is just a Marxist mouthpiece. And this is the most galling one. Blocked Trump's directive to require proof of citizen for voter registration. Proof of citizenship. Because they got to, the illegals got to vote. Got to get them voting. Because there's no other way Democrats could win with the numbers they have among actual Americans, right? Here's the thing with that. You might be thinking, well, you know, it's just an executive order, right? I mean, Trump can't just order that you have to turn it, you know, you have to show citizenship to vote in a federal election. Actually, he can. Because there's something called the Election Assistance Commission. It was created by Congress. The president oversees it. He is the executive. Congress delegated that authority to Trump. So this is not just a piece of paper. This is his job. A judge on April 24th blocked President Donald Trump's directive that officials require people provide proof of U.S. citizenship in order to register to vote. U.S. District Judge and judicial dictator, oligarch extraordinaire Colleen Coller-Cotelli, another Democrat judge, yes, she is, said in an order that the Election Assistance Commission, created by Congress to do exactly this, that the president's supposed to run it, must stop taking action to require a passport or other proof of citizenship for voter registration. Trump, in a March order, said that the EAC, Election Assistance Commission, established by Congress to help federal officials administer elections, shall take steps to require documentary proof of American state citizenship in its national mail voter registration form. Folks, this is how they got 36,000 illegal immigrants on the rolls in Arizona who voted. That was in 2020. There's 50,000 now. So understand what happened. And by the way, we just won a court case. We just won a court case saying, this was Stephen Miller's group. You see Stephen Miller a lot on Fox. He runs a group called America First Legal. And they just got an order from the court that the 50,000 illegals on the Arizona rolls, many of whom voted, must be removed. Trump issued an order to ban DEI in schools or you don't get federal funding. Because they say it violates civil rights laws. This is what Trump says. You cannot have racial preferences in schools. You cannot. You cannot prefer one race over another in teaching in schools. How do we know this? The Supreme Court ruled this. It's the base of civil rights law. That Trump used that and said, no, we're going to defund you. Federal judge said, no, you're not. That, folks, this is all just in the last 48 hours. It's picking up speed. Schools were warned that continuing such practices is in violation of federal law. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You know what's coming next? Trump administration did something amazing. I'm going to talk about it later. China's just cut us off from rare earth minerals. Trump just accelerated mining projects. We literally have stuff we need for AI, for our tech industry, where we produce only 2% of it. China controls the rest, sets the prices. Watch, it's coming in the next week. He just accelerated these permits. Federal judge is going to step in and say he can't do it. What can Trump do would be a better way to ask the question. And Katie bar the door, because if Trump's supporters figure out that it's Mike Johnson enabling these Democrat judges and John Thune, God help them. Honestly, at this point, I think Trump could get 500,000 to 1 million people on a lawn. I do. I think he could. I think he could if he was to tell them it's Thune, it's Johnson, move the legislation, stop playing stupid games. Or maybe we'll just wait till we watch Kristi Noem dragged off in handcuffs. What are we going to have? One set of marshals? What are we going to have? Homeland Security officers blocking the federal marshals coming to arrest? I mean, I don't know who the courts think they're going to send to arrest the Trump administration officials. Be interesting to watch, though. I'm sure they have a plan for that, or they wouldn't be pursuing this route. Folks, we've never seen this in U.S. history. This is crazy. This is a civil war without the shooting yet. When you see hysterical people on television, people talking about how we just can't do without China, we aren't going to make it, defending Venezuelan gang members. They're all Democrats for the most part. They look like honest actors, just raising honest questions. But who owns them? Who owns the Democrat Party? Speaker Mike Johnson out this morning talking about the Act Blue scandal. Act Blue is the nerve center of the Democrat Party. And for a long time, the financials have not added up. They outraise us by billions and billions of dollars, sometimes doubling what we do. Well, it turns out that they've been lying. And James O'Keefe first seized upon this, started going to Pete. There were people donating to Act Blue, money that would be, then be funneled to Democrat Congress members run for office against us and run national campaigns against us, stuff like that. And there were people making, you know, 400 donations of, you know, $10, $15 each. So James O'Keefe found them, went to their door, knock, knock, knock. Hey, you know, is there any reason you've donated 400 times to the Democrat Party? And we mean such small amounts. Why not write one $50 check? Why, you know, why $3 or $4 or $15 checks? Why'd you do that? And they're like, what donations to the Democrat Party? I don't donate to the Democrat Party. Well, you do. You've donated over 400 times. Videos are all over X. That was like a year ago, and the investigation's been ongoing. Come to find out, Act Blue has been funded via gift cards, untraceable as far as the individual sending them, but not the country. Want to take a guess what countries they're coming from? Primarily? Oh, come on, you know. Do I have to even tell you? Come on, it all makes sense. China. China's number one. Venezuela. Russia. You know what's so funny? What day is this? This is the 25th of April, 2025. Could you tell me? I got liberal trolls right now. I just had a buzz went off of one of my sites. Can you tell me how many dollars and how many cents Donald Trump took from Russia? Could you tell me that? Liberal troll. This stuns them every time. I've been doing it for years. They'll show up on my feed. Trump's Russian owned, is Russian and owned, and Putin in Russia. And Putin, Russia, owned. Okay, cool. But how much? Could you tell me dollar amount? How much did Trump take from Russia? When was it? Can you give me a date? No date? Okay, decade. Give me a decade. Tell me what decade he took the money. How much was it? They can't. Because he didn't. That was the key takeaway of the Mueller report. One paragraph. They never found a single damn dime. Not one. Not one dime. Joe Biden? Well, I mean, just fire Rosemont Seneca, $50 million from a Russian oligarch. That's just Rosemont Seneca. But now we're finding the gift card, so cool. No wonder Biden greenlighted the Russian invasion. It's been profitable for them all. But you follow the money, it all starts to make sense. I've got a great article coming up here about the degree to which Joe Biden restrained 97% of our copper and our rare earth minerals, basically choking off or setting up a choke off of the tech industry. And do you know what he was doing the whole time? His family? Hunter Biden was running something called Bohai Harvest. So around the world, as China is going around and buying up natural gas sites, buying up rare earth mineral sites, to the point they own 90% of them, they were cutting Bohai Harvest in. They'd get a half a percentage of the profits or a percentage of the profits, and it'd go to the Biden family. So it can't be that Joe cares about the environment because his family is directly being cut into these deals. But by the way, in exchange for doing nothing. That's just the Biden payoff, folks. And it only came to light because of the hookers and the laptop. I mean, you know that Hunter's had a partner the whole time in Rosemont Seneca, John Kerry's son. How much did they get? Nobody asked. Anybody else have this deal? And now you're watching Act Blue. Hundreds of millions to billions of dollars in small transactions via gift cards. Venezuela, China, Russia. Supposed to be our worst enemies on earth, but they sure like them some Democrats. Isn't it weird that that's what they chose to accuse Trump of, what they were doing? Anyway, Speaker Johnson's out this morning. And when he does something good, we'll tell you. It doesn't happen much. Republican Speaker Johnson, Act Blue, has been caught funneling money from foreign countries, blatantly exporting our campaign finance laws. It's not only unethical, it's illegal. Yes, every donation is a felony. Every single one. Again, Venezuela, Russia, China. Reads like a laundry list of America's enemies. That's who owns them. So understand, when you see these Democrats, when you see Democrat donors, 80% of Wall Street donates to Democrats. 80%, 8-0. When you see them on television, and they are fit to be tied, man. If we can't get another fake set of eyelashes lined with lead sent to the women of America via China for 25% less because it's made with slave labor, by God, the republic is going to end. It's over. Anybody stop to think, who owns that guy? Why is he saying that? I don't know. He's just concerned about America. When was the last time Democrats gave a rip about Americans paying too much for anything? Never. No, they're owned. They're owned. And that's been the central message of this show. And if you listen to the Battleground America podcast, for a couple of years now, the Democrat Party has functionally merged with our enemies. That's not changing anytime soon. They are tied at the hip. You cannot find where the Democrat Party ends and our enemies begin. It is impossible to say what that point is. So what I want to know, we've been at this for over a year now. When did the indictments start? By the way, if you Google this, it's very interesting. The Democrats think they're going to start soon. They know what they did. Because over the last 2 months, almost the entire top staff at Act Blue has resigned. Just quit their jobs as this stuff has begun to come out. So folks, hang on, because we do have investigative authority now. You think what we've learned so far has been shocking? No. This is going to get wild by the end. But you know what I pray for all the time? Just disclosure. I just want the truth. That will be enough to set us free. For Americans to gradually to come to understand the Democrat Party is the enemy of America and the partner of our enemies. So good that Mike Johnson's out there. This has to make the Democrats who keep him in office mad. In fact, I think the only reason Mike Johnson actually said it yesterday is because Steve Bannon's calling for his resignation. So he wants to look like a Republican. But whatever, I'll take it. Whatever it takes. Unbelievable. Okay, today's cautionary tale, because I live to keep you guys safe. I don't know if you've noticed this new trend online. It started with Shark Week. When scientists discovered something amazing about sharks, it's actually really cool. I'm kind of addicted to it. You know, I have a thing for Shark Week. I mean, like after Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's like my favorite holiday. I love sharks. And they discovered a number of years ago that if you have a shark kind of aggressively coming up to you or maybe even attacking you, you could rub its nose and it would go catatonic and kind of just fall off, right, to the side, looking sort of stunned. It's pretty cool. It's almost like a superpower, right? Well, there's a ton of videos online. And if you watch one, the internet, for me, it's Instagram and Facebook Reels, will send you videos of this again and again. So you have these massive, like, tiger sharks. And they're what, like twice as long as a man, you know, almost half as, you know, like, I mean, they're like what, you know, I was 5-6 feet wide. I mean, they're massive, these things. And they're rubbing the nose and they'll come up aggressively like to bump you to see if they want to take a chunk out of you. And you just rub his nose and off he goes. So people are watching. They're very serene, these videos. And a lot of the people in them seem to be kind of experts. Like they've got all the equipment that I don't have, you know what I mean? So these videos are everywhere. They're absolutely fascinating. Including shark attacks actually averted with people rubbing the shark's nose, right? So people are thinking they can do this now. Oh, look, it's a shark. And normally you'd scream and run the other way, but now they run for the shark. It's not ending well, not at all. And it just happened again. This is becoming a weekly thing. Headline, diver killed by sharks was dad of four, who tried to use GoPro stick to beat back the predators. A horrified, but at the same time, fascinated internet watching this video. It's been viewed over 6 million times. It's the dad. His name is Barack Zock. Jumps into the water to film the sharks at a beach in Hadera. This is off the coast of Israel. The chilling video shows him plowing toward the sharks with his camera he can't wait to film. Why? Because everybody on the internet's doing it. They turned out fine. The video then shows him flailing in the water, yelling for help as he is attacked and dragged out to sea. Oops. Guess the rub the nose thing didn't work out. It only works out if you can get to the nose. You know what I'm saying? When the sharks started getting too close, he used the stick of the GoPro to push them away, his family told the national news. He was a father of four. They can't find him. By the way, the particular area he dove into, ran into the ocean in haste, is actually kind of cool. There's so many sharks there, you can just go see them at any time, which is why swimming there is, you know, banned. But it's not the first time. This keeps happening. Oh, yeah. I had another one of these. Woman, same thing, gets her hands bit off, both of them, by a bull shark. What? She did the same thing. Hurtling toward the water. Oh, look, a shark! I'm going to be famous on Instagram. I'll go rub his nose. Some of these people rub their nose and then rub their belly. There's one guy, you got to see this guy. I'm kind of entranced by him because I don't know why he's still alive. He owns a dive company out in the Bahamas, and he has a shark friend. No. He knows where to find the shark friend, and the shark seems excited to see him. It could bite him in half. It's a tiger shark. He's on USC, that guy. He says he has a long-term relationship with the shark. Yeah, I'm just waiting to read about his demise. Anyway, this is the other one. The family of a woman who lost both her hands after being bitten by a shark on holiday has shared how the horrifying attack unfolded. The 55-year-old Canadian woman was on a trip to Turks and Caicos Islands with her husband when they lived what can only be described as a nightmare. Why? Did the shark sneak up on you? No, she snuck up on it. They're doing this. Oh, the internet makes people dumb. She saw a 7-foot bull shark in hip deep water and figured, why not? Everyone else is doing it. The shark circled as she filmed, reaching closer and closer with the camera. It's always the camera. Yeah. Bit off both her hands. I guess that's what happens when you don't hit it on the nose fast enough or rub it or whatever. Anyway. Yeah, they're still looking for the father of the four kids who's missing. By the way, the horrified family watched all of this, just so we're clear. And I'm, you know, sure he's going to be memorialized by the internet forever. The video is horrifying. I will confess I did watch it. I like them all to the flame with that kind of thing. Anyway, the moral of his story. Leave the sharks alone. They do not want to be filmed by you. They do not want their belly rubbed by you. And they'd really like to eat you. You know what's interesting? This is the second attack where the shark, like a pit bull, dragged him out to sea. They do that. Now, there was a guy in Myrtle Beach. I interviewed him. Shark tried to pull him out to sea. Sharks are not your friends. They're not. Okay, that concludes the public service portion of the show for the morning.